The entire world is talking about this potential plague, this coronavirus that is taking place. And today's khutbah, insha'Allah ta'ala, I will summarize 7 benefits and 7 lessons that all of us can learn from what is going on around us. The first of these 7, to make us humble and to realize that none of us is powerful and only Allah Azza wa Jal is all powerful. No human is superhuman. All of us are under the control of a powerful Rabb. Look at this virus all over the world, all nations, mighty and weak. The entire human race is in terror. Doesn't matter where they're from. And what are they terrified at? They're terrified at something that is a manifestation of life. In fact, scientists even wonder, is the virus technically alive or is it something between life and death? And the virus is the smallest manifestation of any creation. And to give you an idea of how small this virus is, just to see this virus, we need to magnify it at least 100,000 times. From this virus, all of us, mankind, are terrified. What does this show us? That there is indeed a Rabb. That despite all of our technology, we do not even control our own lives, much less the lives of others. So the first of these lessons is to make us realize there is a Rabb, and the Rabb is in charge of us. The second of the 7 lessons that we can benefit from is to appreciate that life and death are real. Why? Because all too often we ignore death. All too often we become so comfortable in this dunya. We start enjoying the material pleasures. We become engrossed to such an extent that we become heedless that this dunya is not the end all and be all. And these types of calamities, these types of tragedies, it is a wake up call that no one lives forever. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. No human has been given immortality. Every one of us dies. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single soul shall die. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاءَ. Allah is the one who created death and He created life. This is the second benefit we gain from. The third blessing we can see is the notion and the fact that this virus attacks all of humanity equally. It really shows us the foolishness of the superiority complex. The foolishness of thinking my race, my people, my nation state is better than anyone else. No, this virus is attacking all of humanity equally. All classes, the rich and the poor, all ethnicities, the white and the black and the yellow and the brown. Every single human is equally human. كلكم من آدم وآدم من تراب. Every one of us, our blood cells are exactly the same. And the message of Islam, that the only thing that really separates us is in the eyes of Allah, and that is through taqwa. In this world, we are all equally human. Every one of us is equally affected because we are one in our humanity. The fourth wisdom that we can derive from what we see around us is to show us that this dunya and the wealth that comes with it and the blessings that come with it is not an indication of success and happiness. No, not at all. This virus, it seems to sometimes take innocent children, innocent people. Not just this virus, any calamity. Sometimes the righteous are affected and sometimes the evil people are left. It makes us realize that this dunya is not the end. We must recognize that there's going to be hereafter. And this should make us reflect that whoever has this dunya doesn't mean that Allah is pleased with them. Whoever has this dunya taken away does not mean that Allah is angry with them. And Allah mentions in the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. Beware of the tragedy or of the fitna. Beware of the trial that is not only going to affect those who do wrong amongst you. This virus is spreading everywhere. It is the righteous and unrighteous. It is the good and the bad. It is the salih and the talih. All of them are being affected at equal. Our Prophet ﷺ said, these plagues that you see, they are an adab for some group of people and a rahmah for the believers. Money can be a punishment and money can be a blessing. Good health can be a type of punishment if you don't use it properly, and good health can be a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number five of the blessings that we see is that it makes selfish people realize they need family and friends. They need other people. Subhanallah, what is going to happen if one of us were to fall sick? Who will take care of us? There are many who want to live selfish lives. Nafsi, nafsi. And this is not the way of Islam. It is not the way of any decent human being. A human being needs to love and to be loved. A human being needs to be a part of a good society. You want to have a successful dunya, you need to come together and have law and order. The sixth of these 7 points is to demonstrate for us that there must be a higher power that predetermines what is happening. There must be what we call in Arabic, iman bil qadr. There must be everything that is predetermined by qadr. As Allah says in the Quran, inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu bi qadr. Everything we have done, we have created it with qadr. A person can take every single precaution. A person can always wash his hands and wear the mask and don't go anywhere and still be afflicted with the virus. Another person can walk to the very epicenter without any protection and nothing happens to him. It is reported that our Prophet ﷺ said, لَنْ يَنْفَعَ حَذَرٌ مِّنْ قَدَرٍ. Taking precautions will not help you against qadr. Meaning, if Allah has decreed death in a certain place and you wore protective armor and you did everything you could, will the malakul maut not be able to take your soul just because you have protective armor? No. But the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَكِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ يَنْفَعُ مِمَّا نَزَلْ وَمِمَّا لَمْ يَنْزِلْ فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالدُّعَاءِ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. But rather, dua is helping you against what has happened and what is going to happen. Dua is your weapon that you turn to. The Muslim, the mu'min, finds consolation in belief in qadr. The hadith does not say we act foolishly. The hadith is saying, even if you were to take every precaution, yet it is Allah's qadr that something will happen, those precautions will not benefit you. This is what the hadith is saying. Which means, obviously, Allah's qadr is going to happen, but we don't know Allah's qadr. So we take reasonable precautions, and then we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as the situation is appearing to worsen, dear Muslims, put this ayah and etch it in your spiritual heart. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Say, nothing will happen to us except if Allah has decreed it upon us. No matter what we do, in the end, everything is with qadr. Point number seven, our final point in today's khutbah. One of the greatest wisdoms is that during these times, people rediscover their faith. People turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, in the Quran, there are at least a dozen verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that at times of stress, mankind remembers me. When they're about to drown in the ocean, they think of me. When some calamity comes to them, they call upon me. When they're in pain or anguish, Allah says, they make dua to me standing, sitting and lying down. Now, listen to this carefully. In the whole Quran, Allah never criticizes rediscovering faith at times of calamity. The criticism comes after the distress is lifted, after Allah saves you, after all of this is over, then you forget and you worship other than Allah. That is the criticism. To become religious at times of stress, this is the essence of iman. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, this is what the Muslim and mu'min does at times of stress. And once the stress is over, and if Allah blesses you to live after that, then don't forget the blessing Allah has given you. And thank Allah for that blessing. Allah says in the Quran, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا. Allah is asking a rhetorical question. Why didn't they turn to me? Why didn't they make dua to me when the punishment came down? In fact, dear Muslims, the very purpose of being tested and tried is so that we turn back to Allah before it is too late. The very purpose of a fitna is that Allah Azza wa Jal is testing us with a small tragedy to protect us from the largest tragedy, which is the fire of hell. Allah is giving us a small amount of pain so that we wake up and protect ourselves from the ultimate pain.